Well, as we have started to go through this series, as you notice as you look through the book, each time we go through a lesson, we're going to look at a specific idea of how we can apply those things to self-denial or self-control. We talked about last time that we met together kind of what the difference is between self-denial and self-control and how both of them are a part of a Christian life. And there's been a couple of good points made about that offline. Several people come to me and talk about some of those different things. I appreciate that because it helps us focus in on what it is that we're looking at. We had talked about last time about appreciating that they're not the same thing, that self-control is being able to control yourself, not certain things. An example was given about, you know, if I have self-control, that, you know, maybe if it comes to something set up, instead of, you know, eating 10 candy bars, I'm just going to eat one. So I'm controlling myself. For self-denial, I'm not going to eat any at all. I'm going to refrain from that completely. And so we talked last time about how both of those concepts are in the scriptures and about how they play into our Christian lives. And we discussed the idea of that the self-control comes from self-denial. In other words, I've decided that I will control myself in different things, in my attitude, in my temper, in my worldliness, or my materialism rather, and things of that nature, because I have denied myself my own will and given it to Christ, and yielding to Christ. Another great point I thought that we would just mention as we think about this is that really is a Christian or a biblical concept. It's not something that you see in the world. The idea that we were going to control ourselves because we have denied ourselves. So because we have become Christians and because we have yielded ourselves to Christ and we have chosen to submit to His will, we then decide to exercise self-control. In the worldly concept of things, that's not always how it goes. So we want to think about this in a biblical way, as a biblical concept, and that's what we've been looking at in these various passages. So this morning, we'll look at lesson 3 and start understanding the reason and the necessity to put God's will first. That may seem like a very simple concept, but there's some things specifically I'd like to point out that we see in life that are not, it's not a natural thing that men do and why that is. So we'll think about that as we study through this one. Let's go to God and word prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to you for this day that you have blessed us with again. We see your power, your control over all things as we rise another morning to appreciate the beauty of what you have created, and as we recognize your sovereignty and see how you put all things into place and hold them where they ought to be. We thank you that for our very small part in this creation, the time that we have here on this earth, that you allow us to be your children. We can call you our Father. We can come before you in prayer because of what our Savior Christ did for us. We study these things this morning. We pray that you would continue to help us keep in the top of our minds that Jesus as the ultimate example of self-denial and how he yielded his will to yours. We pray that you would help us appreciate your will, your wisdom, your plans, and how much higher than ours they are. We pray, Father, that you would guide us through your word to understand the depth of those things and to see how our lives will be different and more glorifying to you and more peaceful and pleasant to us when we give ourselves to your will. Help us to be able to exercise that in the right way. Thank you so much for this avenue of prayer to come before you and to petition you about these things. We pray for those now who are mourning, for those who are suffering in health. We recognize, Father, that you are able to help and comfort, and we turn to you for those things. Thank you so much for all that comes to us through Jesus our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, so, you know, I bring this scripture up as we start many of these classes because this is really the basis of what Jesus said and what helps us to get our minds focused in the right way, where Jesus told his disciples that to follow after him, that we need to deny ourselves and take up our crosses and go that direction. So I bring that to your attention to remember to think about it as we get started in talking about these things this morning. So when you look at the lesson, there's a couple of things I'll point out on the first page of lesson 3 in the booklet. By the way, we have a few more books, so if you need one and haven't got one yet, please let me know. We have a few copies in the back for visitors, but if you need a book as a permanent member of the class, please let me know and I'll get you one before today is over. So, as you start to think about man's way versus God's way, and about being able to put God's will first, when you look at the lesson here, one of the first things that he talks about is he reminds us of this teaching that Paul gave to Felix when he was preaching with her, studying together with him, and the idea of teaching about righteousness and self-control in the judgment to come. And the idea that the Christian, in appreciating self-control, that has to do with everything that revolves around the Christian life. And even as we look into places like the Proverbs, one of the things that we wrestle with oftentimes as mankind is thinking that the way that we have come up with things in our own wisdom and the way that we have accumulated knowledge, that those things are going to be able to guide us and carry us through. And man often looks back at their accomplishments and sees all of the things that God has allowed us to do, and sometimes we get a little out of line in thinking that our way is the best way. The Proverbs talk about that in many places. This is just one. And I like this one because of the way that it's worded. You see this a couple different places in Proverbs, in chapter 16, you see it, but it says here that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And one of the main things I want to talk to you about this morning is how we see that throughout the Bible in so many different places and how that applies to how we live day by day. Because if we're going to understand the necessity of putting God's will first, it has to be more than just a principle of, well, the Bible says that we should put God's will first and it's a simple thing to understand and yes, we should do that. And then we leave the building and we go out into life and we face situations and decisions every day. And most often, our tendency is to choose this, the way that seems right to us, instead of understanding what God's way is. And so that's important to think about as we get started. In Isaiah, a passage that we probably know well there, down in verse 9, the writer there tells us this: as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when you appreciate that statement, because we say it often, we refer to it often, but appreciate what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah there. We can easily get that the heavens are higher than the earth. That's a physical thing that we look at, or as we think about the heavens where God dwells, how that's higher than the earth because of what he created and where he is. But that his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher. And he goes on to explain that in verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed for the thing for which I sent it. When we talk about putting God's will first, a big part of that is understanding that God has a purpose, God has a plan, and we may not always understand why that is. He's told us a lot about what some of his plans are. He's told us where some of those things lead. But there are going to be things that he asks of us or things that he tells us that we just may not understand why we need to do it that way. And appreciating that is a big part of appreciating why we need to put God's will first. Because it's easy to put God's will first when we get it, when we understand why that's a good idea. But when we don't get it or we don't see it, and it takes a lot of faith to be able to do it, that's oftentimes where we fall into, there's this way that seems right to a man. But we need to appreciate the end of that proverb about what the end brings. And that's what I want to think about for just a little bit with you this morning. I've got several examples up here that I want to talk about, and hopefully you'll discuss with me that we see. But
I want you to think about for a few minutes why the difference between man's way and God's way in this, and how putting God's will first is helpful in these different situations. So I'll put this phrase up here first. Coals of fire. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Or you read about that or hear about that any place? What is this concept? Where do you find this concept or in general? Yeah, Ruby?
In the end.
What's that?
I said in the end.
Oh, in the end? Okay, talking about judgment? Sure, that's one thing we think about. What else? Yeah, Mary Beth?
By doing good to your enemy, you will keep cold fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, over Romans 12 talks about that. If you turn over to Romans chapter 12, we'll just read one of them. Over in Romans chapter 12, and it's about verses 19 and 20. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. And this is actually quoted from one of the Proverbs. It says here, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." And he goes on to say, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Why is this God's way? Or what's the difference here? Man's way and God's way. I mean, is this a natural inclination for us to do this if somebody is your enemy? I see heads shaking no. I mean, what do we normally do? Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
To want to take revenge.
Okay. Right, right. Our natural inclination is to want to take revenge or to want to get back for wrongs that are done. Is that justified sometimes? I mean, let's say it this way. Does that seem like justice? Sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes it does. If somebody has done something that is wrong or immoral, and it seems like justice that we should do something back or bring them to justice in some way, well, what does God say? He says to leave that to Him, right? That's not naturally what we want to do. And we may look at that and think, well, why? Because God is a God of justice, right? And you know, we see Him taking vengeance, and we see Him bringing people to justice, especially in the Old Testament. We see that a lot. We see Him raise one nation against another, or we see something happen to those who have not followed Him. But what He teaches us here is that is His place, not our place. And oftentimes we want to take it into our hands. We've got a couple comments here. Alan first.
God is the Creator. You are not the Creator.
Right. That's right. Very simply put and well said. That's right.
Look what happened to David. The slingshot killed the giant. Mm-hmm. It's all become a great food.
Yeah.
Yet the captain and commits the giant. He wants the giant's wife. Takes her. Has him killed. Mm-hmm. And then, right? Psalms.
Yeah.
Proverbs.
Right. So yeah, the man is fickle and not consistent sometimes, right? So there's something to think about there. Yeah, Ruby?
I think it's really hard to be patient to let God take care of you. Mm-hmm. It's something that is so hard for me.
Yeah.
I want it done right then.
Right.
And I think a lot of people
do
that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll join you in that. It's difficult to do that, right? Which brings it back to what? Self-control. That's to be able to put God's will first, especially in different things like this. It's hard because it's not our natural inclination because of how sin has affected us, because of the world around us. God is calling us to learn self-control and to use that, and His ways are better. Yeah, Art?
God puts civil law in there to take care of matters like this.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they get away with it.
Sure.
But only here. They're going to be punished later.
Right.
Depending on the crime, it's a hard thing. I don't think there's going to be heinous crimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Some things become very very personal, don't they? And it's hard to take that pinpoint focus away from ourselves and back to the bigger picture, that God is in control, and if something is happening, it's happening for a reason, and that He can deal with that. And that's what self-control and in some senses self-denial is all about. So I think that that's important to appreciate, just passages like this that point us in that direction. Because some of these things are not the natural way that we want to go about things, right? Couple other quick examples. You know, Abraham and Isaac. You think about that situation. What comes to mind when you say Abraham and Isaac together? What about that involves God's way versus man's way?
Abraham
and
sacrifice.
Yeah. Right. So does that really make sense to us? Does that compute? Abraham, 99 when Isaac was born? I didn't do my math before I came here. He was very close to almost 100. Isaac is born, a child of promise, no children. This all finally comes to pass. And then God says, now I want you to go and sacrifice your son. That's my purpose. I mean, that's not something that is... that we would look at as our way, right? That doesn't make sense. Why is God asking this? Well, God had a reason and a purpose. What was it? Yeah. Abraham's faith was tested, and he was able to, he was able to go through that because of his faith, right? and do just what God asked of him. So, when you think about some of these different examples that we see all through the Word of God, it reminds us of what it is that is the difference between our will and God's will. How about this one? Rejoice and weep. If you go back to Romans 12 again, there's a few of them there. You know, and Romans 12 is a passage that is full of some of these teachings that are different from human nature. Maybe it's easy to empathize with someone who is hurting, and there's some natural inclinations there, but also, a lot of man's ways sometimes is to do what? When we see someone that maybe is hurting or something tragic has happened, sometimes what might be our natural inclination?
Sometimes we avoid them.
There you go. Yeah. That happens a lot, doesn't it? Sometimes we avoid it. Sometimes we think, well, I'm glad that's not happening to me. That's not my problem. Now, hopefully in the context of God's people, that's not what we're doing. But, in Romans 12, if you're there again, this passage in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And then verse 12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, be instant in prayer. I got the wrong verse there. It's down in verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. So just real quick on this point. Rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep is not always our natural inclination to do, is it? What happens sometimes when we see others who gain an advantage or something great happens to them? Sometimes what is our human nature?
Envy.
Jealousy. Wishing that it was us. That's part of all those things. So when you look through the Word of God and you see this principle about putting His will first or understanding that His way is best, we see that in lots of different places. How about the Battle of Jericho? I just grabbed a bunch of these. They're not in any specific order. I just want you to see this as you go through the Word of God about the difference between God's will and man's will. The Battle of Jericho. Real quick, what happened there? Yeah. I want you to march around this city every day, once a day, and then on the last day I want you to do it 7 times, I want you to blow the trumpet, and I want you to shout, and when I do that, the walls are going to come tumbling down. People try to explain that for centuries and say, well, it was the vibration of the people, and the walls were built on this certain type of ground, and that's why it happened. No. It talks about the walls falling flat. This was the power of God. Why did God have them do that? Were there different ways that they could have taken the city? Yeah. But God was teaching them something, wasn't he? He was teaching them dependence. He was teaching them faith in Him. He was teaching them trust. And This is what he chose. And we look at that sometimes, and that's just not what, probably Joshua, as a great military leader, this is not the way he would have taken the city. But that's God's way. That's God's will. And when we are willing to submit to that without question, great things will happen. You can see that in all of these examples throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. When we're willing, and that's what the point that I want to make here, when you're willing to submit, great things happen. What about... Yeah, go ahead, Nathan. I'd love to hear it.
I was thinking about these things, and I think about what Abraham said to Isaac when Isaac was questioning him. It's God will provide.
Yeah.
And when we put our way above God, we think that we can provide ourselves with a greater solution, a better solution than he can. And the understanding is with these situations is that God will provide. And if we put our trust in him, God will let us down.
Right. Right. That's a great point. And take that and take these situations we've talked about so far and think about, does it take self-control to do that? Absolutely. Because of what we continually want to do ourselves and take control of it ourselves. Jake?
I'm going to take advantage of Nathan. This is derailing. Pretty much all of these have to do with, okay, well, that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we read something in God's Word, but that just doesn't make sense to me. And then to some, that'll stop them from believing it.
Mm-hmm.
That'll stop them from having faith in what it just says. And then they try to explain around what the text says. And that's our modern-day application, I would say.
Yeah.
But to the same thing with Abraham and Isaac, with the Battle of Jericho, well, that just doesn't make sense to me. So I'm not going to believe it. Well, if we only believe and we only have faith in the stuff that makes sense to us, then we don't have faith in God. Even
right.
though we have faith in just as much as what makes sense to us. And if that's the case, we just have faith in ourselves and
that's
our senses.
Right. Ultimately, that's where that leads. Right. That's a good point. Yeah. And so it takes, you know, both things. It takes some self-denial to say, I'm going to give myself to God's purpose and deny my own purpose in order to be able to appreciate some of these things. A couple other comments here real quick. Eric, then Alan.
That is what faith is, right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so it's putting our trust that God, I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
If you say this works, then I'm going to trust it. I'm going to follow you no matter what.
Right. Right. And he talks about the end of the lesson. I don't know. We'll get to these specific points. I thought they were basic and you can read through them. You know, faith, repentance, commitment, all those things they take self-control for us to be able to put ourselves in that position where God is over us and we're willing and excited to be a part of that instead of looking at it as some sort of burden or some sort of yoke. Alan, did you have something else?
So for us to live by faith, it's revealed in this Romans 17, 1:17, pointing the righteousness of God is revealed by faith.
Yeah.
For faith is in written, the righteous shall live. We shall live by faith.
Yep.
So that's the way our outlook should be. We're headed to heaven because of faith. And everything we do must get us in that position before we die.
Right. Well, so, you know, is going to take this degree of self-control and appreciating what God's will says. I threw the rest of them up here. We don't have time to go through each one individually, but let's just think about some of these. You know, Jesus talks in Matthew 5 about turning the other cheek. If someone smacks you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. That's not what we do, is it? What we want to do is if somebody slaps you on the cheek, I was reading an article a few years ago, our immediate response before things get all the way through the brain to the neocortex, our immediate response is, you know, either put a hand up or hit back. It comes from a different part of the brain. So take self-control to realize just even the concept of what Jesus is saying there about accepting wrong, that's God's way. And you think about take that through to the end and why we're trying to control ourselves and put God's will first. If you follow what Jesus says just about that, do you think that's going to make an impression on another person? Maybe it's not a literal face smacking, but if they are doing you wrong, maliciously and on purpose to harm you, which create difficulty for you, and your reaction is what Jesus says to do here. Do you think that's going to get their attention in today's world? I hope so. And maybe they want to know why. Why are you offering kindness to me in this way? Well, there's those that will take advantage, sure. But that goes back to the first one. Let God deal with that. So in all of these concepts, you know, God's way is different. Loving your enemy. Think about Gideon's army and how, you know, what God said, what God told Gideon to do in order to defeat the Midianites. He kept narrowing it down and narrowing it down. And Gideon was thinking, how is this going to happen? How, with 300 men, am I going to defeat these people? Well, God had a purpose, didn't he? And Jonah and Job and what God was asking of them to do. It doesn't make sense to us sometimes. But we appreciate that God's will is higher than ours. And that's really what I want you to see is the main part of this lesson. It's more than just this statement of, yes, put God's will first. Think about how that applies to daily life. You face lots of these types of situations. Maybe you haven't been asked to march around the city 7 times, but you know, you face a lot of these other situations that have to do with vengeance or turning the other cheek or your enemy or going to talk to someone who you don't really want to talk to. Think about that with Jonah. He was told to go and preach salvation to those in Nineveh or preach repentance that would lead to their salvation. These were his enemies. You know, if you were asked to go into the Middle East and to those who hate Christians and are killing and killing them and preach repentance, how would you feel about that? So appreciate what God is looking for there. So when you look at the other parts of this lesson here before we run out of time, just to make application for that. You know, obviously we see that God's will is revealed in His Word. And how do we know what it is that we want to commit ourselves to? If we're not going to commit ourselves to our will, we're going to commit ourselves, obviously, to the will of God. Proverbs chapter 3 and a couple of verses there, what do they tell us? That to trust in Him with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I think that statement alone sums up most of what of these examples that we just talked about this morning. To trust in Him with all your heart. There's a difference in doing that in this proverb. There's a difference in trusting in the Lord with all your heart and just acknowledging that, yes, God's will is what we should follow. One is a statement. One is putting your heart into it and living that because you believe it. So, you know, we've studied here in this class a couple of weeks. I think Brother Jonas touched on it and a couple times in his lessons. There's a difference between giving God all of your heart and trusting in Him that way and just in word saying, yes, I should have self-control. I should put God's will before mine. I want you to appreciate that when you look at all those examples that we just talked about and how that's evident. He finishes that thought by saying, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Recognize that we may not see the wisdom that God had in mind for us until the end. We might go a long part of our life or our whole life before we see or understand what God's purpose was about something. And that's trusting in Him. That's having the self-control to do that. So he tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3 through 5 there that was in the lesson book. Paul talks about how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has not been made known to the sons of men in other generations, as has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This verse is just in here and in the lesson for us to understand that God is telling us what His will is, and He will tell us what His will is if we're willing to listen. And so when we think about that, and I'll finish with this, you think about the example of Jesus. So I mentioned that at the beginning of the lesson. We prayed about that together, and we have referenced Him as the ultimate example of self-control and self-denial. So when we decide and we think about loving God with all of our heart and soul and our mind and our strength, you think about how Jesus did that and how that's it's not an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to say, but not an easy thing to do. And you think about what the life of a Christian is going to be when you start looking at some of these New Testament examples. It should be something that's characterized moment by moment of selfless service to God. For us to do that, it requires self-control. It requires us to deny ourselves. And that's what is meant when we talk about putting God first and putting God's will first. So, we see that concept in the New Testament. Mark 10 talks about, you know, any wealth that comes our way that we should generously be willing to give. Any success or talents that we have should be used to multiply Christ's influence. See that in Matthew chapter 25. I'm talking about doing unto others to find salvation, that what we do for them, we do unto Him. Any strength or health that we enjoy needs to be used for His service. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2 real quick here before we end. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. In Philippians 2 and verse 14, you know, Paul says this, he says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights of the world, holding fast to the word of life, so in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even as I am proud to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all." When you think about the life that God asks us to live as Christians, and we think about Christ and Him humbling Himself and being obedient to the will of His Father, all the things that we see talk about accepting God's will and putting it first. And recognizing that it's not going to be our natural way to want to do those types of things. And really that's what I wanted you to be able to see in this lesson. The next lesson we'll talk a little more about, you know, some of the reasons for that and some different examples of that and how we see God's purpose fulfilled in doing those things. But I just want you to appreciate in the time that we had together this morning that throughout the Bible, there are times when God has asked people to do, God has asked of those who are His people to do things that that maybe they didn't understand. But when they did that, and when we do that, it honors and glorifies Him. And that's part of being controlled, self-controlled. Any last thoughts or comments? Okay, thanks for your attention. Oh yes, Donna, go ahead. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. As the people of God who are all doing together what He has asked us to do, then we see the immediate benefits of that. Maybe we didn't understand why, but and people of the world may not understand why, but you certainly see that come to fruition. That's very, very true. All right, thank you very much. We'll pick up lesson 4 next week.